We're in Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 through 30, and the title is The Table and the Bread. For many families in their houses, the table in the home doesn't hold any special meaning. It doesn't have a special place. It's just a place where one gathers, eats their fill, and moves on as quick as possible. I myself was in a household like this when I was growing up. We would eat through the day, most of the time alone. I would eat, my sister would eat, my brothers would eat, my father would come home and eat. Just a place in the house, the table represented. But for the believer, thank God, the table holds a special place in our households. It's the place that we give thanks to the Lord for our food when we come together. We thank Him for providing for our food, wherever we may be. It's also a place of family fellowship as we gather together. We may ask what happened during the day. What do we expect to happen through the following day? So the table is a place where we commune daily together. And we see in our text today, in Exodus chapter 25, the Lord also places the table and the bread in a place of honor. It's actually in a place called the holy place. It's the first thing spoken about after the ark, which is at the heart of the tabernacle. It is where everything centered around. The presence of the Lord would be there. The ark of the Lord was in a place called the Holy of Holies. And it was above the ark that the Lord's presence would be. He would speak to Israel from that place. But right outside this Holy of Holies is a place called the Holy Place. The Lord tells Moses to build a table that's to hold bread. Now, visually, the tabernacle was a big tent. We'll get into this more next time we meet. But it was a big tent and it consisted of two rooms. The smaller room was the Holy of Holies, where the ark was. And the outer room was the Holy Place that we're in today, the second outer room. And it was the place that the table and the bread were to be placed. So follow along as I read our text in chapter 25, starting in verse 23, and then we'll seek the Lord in prayer briefly. Chapter 25, verse 23. You shall also make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits shall its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold, and make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make a rim around it 1 handbreadth wide, and the molding of gold around the rim. And you shall make it 4 rings of gold, and fasten the rings to the 4 corners at its 4 legs. Close to the frame the rings shall lie, as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. Let us pray. Lord God, we simply ask this short prayer that you would be with us at this time as we open up your word, that you would speak through me, Lord, and that your people would hear what you would have to tell them through the word, Lord. We plead with you, Lord, that your spirit would fill each one in this place. That your Holy Spirit would come and fill. And Lord, we thank you that we can open up the Word. Many places doesn't have that blessing, that they could open it up in public, Lord. And we just thank you for these things, and we lift this prayer to your precious name. So in context, remember, Moses is upon the mountain, where he will be for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord instructs Moses how to build this tabernacle. First, God tells Moses how the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Lord, was to be constructed. This was the heart of the tabernacle, where the commandments of the Lord were to be kept, but also where the mercy seat would cover. That mercy seat would be the very place where God's presence would be, the center, but also the place where his presence would be, but also where he would speak to Israel. His voice would be heard. And the Lord continues telling Moses what is to be built next. A table is to be made, and bread was to be placed upon this table always or regularly. Like the ark, the table and the bread represent much more than may seem to our eyes at first when we look at these things. Much more. And hold a special place within the tabernacle itself. So let's open up our text today. First, by looking at the table in verses 23 through 29. And second, the bread of presence in verses 30. So the Lord continues instructing Moses. In the original, we see the word, the very first word of this text is end. End. End you shall make. Or translated in my version, you shall also make. There's no break in what came before. No break in the action. No break in the story of what we've seen in verses 10 through 22. And like the ark, the table is to be made of this wood, this same wood, acacia wood. Was very strong wood, very solid wood, but it also was very light wood. Normally, the stronger the wood is, the heavier it is. I don't know if any of you carry 2x4s. You'll see the better the wood, the heavier it is. But here we see it's strong wood, but it's very light. And that would be a blessing to those having to carry these things. The table size that we're speaking about today is a bit smaller in length and width to the ark, but it's the same height as the ark. Like the ark, the table is to be fully overlaid with pure gold. But unlike the ark, there's a 3-inch rim around the top of the table, most likely to hold the things in that were going to be placed upon it. Like the ark, the table has these gold rings that hold poles that will be used to carry the table as they transport it from place to place. So far, the table's description is similar to the ark itself, only a little bit smaller in length and width. But in verse 29, the similarities cease. It says in verse 29, various versions, I'm putting this kind of more in plain English, verse 29, you shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. 4 items are to be placed upon the table. Plates are to be made, presumably, for the bread that's going to be placed upon the table. Dishes, presumably, for the incense that we read about further on in Leviticus 24, verse 7. Incense that was to be, frankincense that was to be placed on the bread itself. And the last 2 items are pitchers and bowls. All are to be made of pure gold. So the table is set and it's placed in this room called the holy place. The table is clearly set apart for the Lord within the temple, within the tabernacle. It's the first thing spoken about after the Ark of the Covenant. But it's what's placed on the table, particularly the bread, we need to look at more deeply. Particularly the bread, spoken of in verse 30. Our last verse in the text today. It says, and you shall set the bread of presence on the table before me regularly. Or in some of your translations, called the showbread. The showbread. And you shall set the showbread on the table before me always, forever. The bread is mentioned, as we'll see in other parts of Scripture. It says many places in the Bible they mention this bread. In the original, it's lechem panim. these two Hebrew words. Literally, the bread before God's face. The bread, or the bread of the presence, as translated. Lechem, the lechem is the word where we get Bethlehem from, the house of bread, lechem. And panim is the face, or the presence of God. The bread is to be before God, the text says, continually, or always. So, our text is simply laid out. Doesn't seem to be much here. A table, golden utensils, and bread. Moses was told, build that table and overlay it with pure gold. He is to make these four golden utensils, plates, dishes, pitchers, and bowls. So in our simple text, what is God teaching us and, in essence, teaching Israel first and then us? What in this text is God teaching Israel and what is he teaching us? Well, first and foremost, that his people are called to serve him. His people are called to worship him. It's the reason the Lord called Israel. If you remember back in chapter 3, verse 12, it's the reason the Lord called Israel. He said back in that chapter and that verse, but I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When I have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve me on this mountain. Israel was saved that they would serve serve the Lord. Or another translation puts it, that they would worship the Lord. They would worship God. And serving and worship in the tabernacle would be one way that Israel is called to serve him or to worship him. The Lord would equip his people to do so. The Lord himself would equip his people to do so. Working with wood, creating things of gold such as these, entails having some knowledge of an artisan. Artisan is simply a craftsman. Now, I love hearing and playing the guitar, but I can't make a guitar. I'm not equipped to make a guitar. I'm not skilled in guitar making. But the Lord in his wisdom raised up a people for this cause. The Lord himself raised up a people for this cause. Turn to Exodus 31. Artisans, craftsmen that would be equipped for this cause. It says in Exodus 31. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And then verse 6 continues. There's others. It's more than Bezalel. And I have appointed him with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils and the laver and its base. Let's stop there. So the Lord calls Moses, he's speaking to Moses, and commanded him to build the tabernacle. But Moses could and would not do it alone. Moses could and would not do it alone. And so the Lord raised up these artisans and he called the Levites to serve him in the things related to the tabernacle. But all would serve him, the community at large, and all would worship him and him alone. Israel was saved that they would serve God, that they would worship him. Brethren, the Lord is still calling a people unto Him to serve and to worship Him. He is still calling a people. And He equips those in the Old Testament, and He's still equipping people to do His what He calls them to do. Unlike the Levites, who were a special people, a special priesthood called to serve, all in His body, all in the church, are called to serve and worship God. We may not serve in a physical tabernacle. We may not be in a wilderness. But all are nevertheless to serve the Lord in some capacity. And we do so following who? We do so following Christ and His example to us to serve. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus also said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. All believers are called to serve the Lord. Paul, James, Jude, Peter are all called servants of the Lord in the Word. What area has the Lord blessed you here? I ask this question. What area has the Lord blessed you to serve Him? What areas has He called you to worship Him? And it's a beautiful thing to serve others in the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. We all have God-given abilities that we can use for His glory. Some are gifted artisans and craftsmen. We have them here, brothers, sisters, young ones. What has the Lord equipped you in? Use your ability. Use your talent to glorify God and to glorify Him alone. Some are gifted by God. I'm just going to go through a few things. Some are gifted by God with the ability to teach others. We all are teachers in our own right, but God has gifted some with the ability to teach others, be it to groups or be it one-on-one. I just encourage you, brethren, use that gift to glorify God and bless the body of Christ. The Lord has blessed some with the ability to listen. And I don't mean per se as you are listening right now, but to listen to those who are pouring out their heart in the body as they go through trials or various things in their life. It takes a special one to listen. It takes a special one to listen. It takes patience to listen to a brother or sister without jumping in. To be a listener to a sister or a brother who is hurting. And to struggle with those who are struggling. And my heart was so blessed with many of you who have said to me in one way or another, I'm going through this struggle with you. I'm in this struggle with you, brother. When you're hurting, we are hurting. And I was particularly blessed. I was speaking with Brother Miguel in Puerto Rico, and he told me a few weeks back, we are one body. And when one hurts, or if one hurts, we are all hurting. And he used the analogy, when the foot is stubbed, the whole body feels the pain, not just the foot or the toe. Some serve here in this body by greeting others. Simple thing like greeting others. Some here serve to watch us during, when we sit here, they're watching what's going on during the service. Others help with the young ones as the parents are sitting in the service. Some help with technical things like the sound or recording. Some even translate. They've been gifted with the ability to translate. Not an easy thing. There are so many areas one can serve. These are just a few. There are so many areas one can serve. And doing so, brethren, remember this, you are worshiping God. You are worshiping God. Amen? The Bible speaks often of the believer as a servant. In the New Testament called, among other words, a doulos, a bondservant of the Lord. And brethren, this doesn't only work out here as we serve each other and serve the Lord. It doesn't always doesn't only work out on a Sunday and in church. Whatever you do in your livelihood, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. As one reformer said hundreds of years ago, if you're a shoemaker, if you're a tailor, or whatever you do for a living, do it as though you were serving the Lord. Do it as though you were serving the Lord. Do it as a token of worship unto God. Amen? Brethren, I ask this, what gifts and abilities has God given you? What gifts and abilities has God graced you in? Use what God has given you to serve and to worship the Lord. Serving your brother, serving your sister, as they in turn serve you. And doing so, remember, you are serving the Lord. Amen? There's a second thing we learn. The second thing we learn from our text is that the Lord would provide. It implies this. Verse 30 said, the bread is to be placed upon the table always, continually. This speaks of the Lord's provision to Israel. It speaks of the Lord's provision to Israel. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly or always. The only way this is possible is if the Lord provides, the Lord's provision. In the wilderness, the Lord continually provided Israel with bread from heaven, the manna. The Lord sustained Israel with all they needed, giving bread from heaven, making bitter water sweet. Even when they cried out for meat, the Lord supplied that. The Lord supplied with Israel with what was needed. And Mary sings about the Lord and his mercy in Luke 1:51. It says, he has filled the hungry with good things. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord good? I say amen. And we know the Lord never changes. Remember that. The Lord never changes. His provisions continue today. They continue today and forever. His name is literally Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Now, he may not provide you with every desire you have. He may not do that. It may not even be good for you, some desires we have that are just not, they might seem godly to us, but the Lord knows better. But he will provide, brethren, what you need. He provides what you need. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And if you want to look in Matthew 6, Jesus speaks about the deep things of our needs, things that we are anxious about. It says in Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And I simply seek the Lord and pray, may the Lord supply all your needs, brother and sister, in Christ. May he supply your daily bread to you and every spiritual gift be poured out on you. The third thing we learn in our text and corresponding text, as we'll see, is the Lord not only provides for his people the bread they are to eat, but he calls his people into a special fellowship with him, that they would commune with God and eat in his presence. This at first may seem strange to us, eating in the Lord's presence. the Lord of all, majestic, powerful, all-knowing, that he would call his people to eat in his presence. Turn to Leviticus 24. It speaks about our text. Leviticus 24. In Leviticus 24:5, the Lord speaks more about our text, particularly the bread of presence. As Revelation progresses, more is explained about this bread that's to be placed upon the table. Leviticus 24, verse 5. And this is the Lord speaking about the things we're in our text. First, he tells them how they're to make the bread. And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes or 12 loaves with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in two rows, 6 in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be for Aaron, this is the key text, it shall be for Aaron and his son that they shall eat in the holy place, or in a holy place, for it is most holy to him from the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Now, verse 9, let's listen to that translated another way. Speaking of the bread, it says, it belongs to Aaron and his sons who are to eat it in the sanctuary because it is most holy. It is a most holy part of their perpetual share of the food offerings presented to the Lord. It's an amazing text. The priests who are to serve the Lord in the tabernacle are to eat that bread as they change it every Sabbath. Every Sabbath they are to eat the bread. They are to eat the bread in God's presence. This was to happen every Sabbath, every week, week in and week out. It was eaten in the holy place, within the tabernacle itself, in God's presence or before God's face. Now, we've seen this when we looked at Exodus chapter 24. Turn there just for a moment. We've seen eating in the Lord's presence before. In Exodus 24, verses 9 and 10, as the old covenant was confirmed on the mountain, it says, then Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. And here it is. They beheld God and ate and drank. A one-time meal was eaten before the Lord as the old covenant was confirmed upon the mountain. But in Leviticus 24, we see an amazing thing happening over and over. Eating in the Lord's presence was to happen weekly. In Leviticus, we learn that the bread of presence was actually 12 separate loaves. And the 12 loaves probably represented the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. It says there again, let's look at that. In Leviticus 24:7, it says, and you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. God says it's a memorial. It's to take place every Sabbath. It's to be set before the Lord. Continually, it's to be eaten by the priests. And what's happening is every Sabbath the bread is taken away and fresh bread is put before the Lord. It's a thing that God is speaking about here. So, what does this teach us today? What does this teach us? It teaches Israel and us at least two things. First, the Lord is drawing Israel's attention to the covenant that he made with Israel, but also the Lord's provision for his people. But secondly, there's a unique place of fellowship the Lord has with his people. There's a unique place of fellowship that the Lord has with his people, that they would be able to commune with God in this special way, that they would partake in fellowship with him, partaking of a meal in his presence or before his face. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that amazing. I find that amazing, astounding. Week in and week out, the priests would eat in the Lord's presence. A seemingly everyday mundane thing that people do, we eat. Only here, it's set apart before the Lord and done in his presence. But as amazing as this is, and it is amazing, it was a meal that only the Levitical priests could partake in. It was only the Levites who could partake in this meal. But the Bible goes on to speak about a day when all people would be invited to a feast. Turn to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. Isaiah prophesies about a day in the future when not only the Levitical priests would eat in his presence, but peoples from every nation would do so. It says in Isaiah 25:6, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that it cast over the people, the veil that it spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." Now turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19 speaks of the fulfillment of the day when Jesus reigns and the marriage supper of the Lamb begins. It says in Revelation 19, verse 6, "Then I heard what seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready.'" Verse 8, "It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are true words of God. Brethren, these things take place for one cause and one cause alone, for Christ's sake. Because of Christ, these things take place. But as awesome as bread and food are for our nourishment," they're awesome. As awesome as they are and that the Lord provides, the bread ultimately points to one place, and it points to Christ. Turn to John 6 as we close. Turn to John 6. In John 6, Jesus just fed 5,000 miraculously upon the mountain. The next day, some followed Jesus looking for more food. They wanted something more. They wanted to be fed again. And then in John 6:31, they asked Jesus this question: "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always, continually." Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Brethren, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus tells us, whoever comes to him shall never hunger. The question is, do you desire him? Do you desire this bread from heaven? Jesus said, if you come to him and believe in him, you shall never thirst. If you believe in him and him alone, God will transform you. As the Bible speaks of a new life, being born again or born from above. So if you hear today as we close, if you hear today and never believed in him, he calls on you through his word today to put your trust in him. The bread of life. Put your trust in him. Turn from your sin. Turn from your sin and trusting in anything but Christ. Anything but Christ. And turn to him in faith and belief. And this is our prayer for you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this simple text. And we thank you for all the things that it implies, that you would provide, that you would be with your people, that you would commune with your people in a special way. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers, that you would work through us through this week, that we would serve you, Lord, in all we do. And Lord, that we would grow in areas of service. And we lift this prayer to you in Jesus' name. Amen.